Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, I expressed to them I was mad. I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy Monday to you all. It is November 4th, 2019, as we really now get the month started, right? I'm trying to get into the groove of November now. Thanksgiving later on this month. Happy fall to you all. It's a beautiful fall day, by the way, for those here in mid-Michigan. The sun is out. Birds are chirping. It's not really cold outside, you know, in the 50s. Great, 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 great day. As opposed to, you know, cloudy and gray. You know, temperatures in the 30s. I'm loving it right now. So hopefully you guys are having a fantastic, fantastic Monday and start to your week. On today's current sports, it is going to be a busy Monday edition of the show, as it usually is, as we'll try our best to recap some of the biggest sports stories that took place from over the weekend pertaining to your local sports scene and beyond. We will be opening up our discussion section of the show, putting an emphasis on what happened to the Detroit Lions yesterday. Out in Oakland against the Raiders, how in the world did the Lions blow that game against the Black and Silver?
Do me a favor, just kind of sit up.
Yeah, I know, Matty Patty. He's got some questions to answer. I know he answered some questions after the game. I mean, Matthew Stafford, that's one brother that you cannot blame that loss on. Matthew Stafford was fantastic. He threw for over 400 yards, but that Detroit Lions defense was pitiful. So we'll dive into the Detroit Lions and that loss against the Oakland Raiders and how that whole thing finished yesterday. Also, Tom Izzo just wrapped up his weekly press conference as he spoke to the media, previewing tomorrow's big matchup between 1 and 2. Michigan State being the number one basketball team in the nation, taking on number two Kentucky, John Calipari and company, out in Madison Square Garden at the Champions Classic. Izzo previews that matchup. You'll hear from him in just a moment. Also, later on this hour, we will have weekend winners for you, where I will touch on a bit of the local scene in the world of high school football as the playoffs officially got underway last week. Also, the Detroit Pistons and that win over Kyrie Irving and the Nets on Friday. And there was one breakout performance that may pay off as the year goes along for the Pistons, but it's a slew of injuries for the Pistons to start the season. And we'll touch on a few other things, all right? So we're going to have a lot of fun today. If you would like to weigh in on the show, you know how you can do that. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Simply go to facebook.com/WKAR News. You can watch the live stream there, and you can voice your thoughts below that live stream. Also, tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Jack Kerwin is the man behind the glass on this Monday edition of the show. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. We'll be right back. All right, folks. Again, it was a very eventful weekend in the world of local sports and beyond. And, you know, Michigan State football did not have a game this week due to a bye. So no college football to lead our usual Monday edition of the show. But I do want to start here because I saw this news over the weekend, yesterday actually, and this is a squad that just continues to impress. And actually, to begin his press conference today, MSU head basketball coach Tom Izzo gave a shout out to this very team as the Michigan State women's cross country team raced to a Big Ten championship title yesterday morning at the Ohio State University Golf Club. Five members placing in the top 16. Absolutely amazing. This is the seventh Big Ten title for the Spartans in program history and the first title since 2014. This is what the director of cross country and track and field, Walt Drenth, had to say after accomplishing this feat. Also, Walt, he spoke just moments before Tom Izzo took the podium today. Quote, throughout the group, our depth was good and their expectations are high. I'm really proud of them. This is a good growth experience for everybody, and I expect we'll look for ways to be better in the next couple of weeks. But an absolutely amazing accomplishment. I'll have more on the MSU women's cross country team later on this hour for weekend winners. All right, the Michigan State men's soccer team battled tough throughout against number 10 Indiana. That's before getting top, though. 1-0 on a first half penalty kick goal yesterday afternoon at DeMartin Stadium in the regular season finale. Yesterday was also MSU's senior day as the Spartans recognized seniors Michael Pimlott, Giuseppe Baroni, and Michael Mentegu in the pre-match ceremony. So MSU ends the regular season as the number 6 seed in the Big Ten tournament, facing number 3 seed Michigan in that first round next week. I should say November 10th in Ann Arbor. And that time for that one will be announced at a later date. And we'll be sure to pass that along to you when we get that news. All right, the Michigan State hockey team was topped by number 4 Cornell, 6-2 on Saturday night at Mount Ice Arena as the Big Red pulled away in the second period, scoring 3 times in the stanza. A pair of freshmen scored for the Spartans, including Josh Nadler, who netted his first career goal. Cornell, which was 3-for-6 on the power play, finished with a 30-21 advantage in shots on goal. MSU was 2-for-5 on the man advantage. The Spartans begin Big Ten play this weekend as they travel to number 12 Penn State. This was the first time all season the Spartans had not managed at least a split in a two-game weekend set with an opponent. So Cornell wins both of those matches over the weekend. Cornell, one of the best teams in the nation. All right, the Michigan football team got an easy win over the Maryland Terrapins on Saturday, 38-7, the final there. And the Michigan men's basketball team opened up the season officially as they had a lone exhibition match against Saginaw Valley State University. That was an 82-51 win for Juwan Howard and his Wolverines. Isaiah Livers, he led Michigan with 20 points. Eli Brooks had 13, and East Lansing native Brandon Johns Jr. added 12 as Michigan cruised to victory. So awesome stuff there, and really good to see Brandon Johns making the stat sheet. Also, folks, how about Friday's high school football action for pre-districts? A quick recap. In Division I, you saw Brighton beat Holt 26-7, so Holt's season comes to an end, unfortunately. St. John's beat Mason 17-7 in D3. Also in Division III, DeWitt topped East Lansing 21-13. In Division IV, Flint Powers beat Williamston 34-7. Fowlerville beat Goodrich 29-28 in overtime. Fowlerville getting its first playoff win in quite a long time. So an amazing feat there. Congratulations to Fowlerville. Their big news in Division 5, Portland over Central Montcalm, 35-0. Lansing Catholic beat Olivet, 28-21, also in Division 5. To Division 6, where Ithaca was defeated by Sanford Meridian, 19-14. In D7, Pawama Westphalia shut out North Muskegon, 35-0. New Lothrop beat Langsburg, 47-3. In Division 8, Fowler beat Auburn Hills Oakland Christian, 46-6. Breckenridge over Carson City Crystal, 20-8. And in 8-man Division 1, Morris beat New Haven Merritt Academy, 46-0. Actually, former Current Sports engineer Connor Mathis covered that game, and Connor will actually be joining us on Wednesday to give us kind of a preview when it comes to pre-districts in the local Lansing area high school football scene. And on Saturday, and maybe we can look this up maybe on Twitter, Jack, there was one game in 8-man Division 2 football as Portland St. Pat took on the Bay City All Saints. We'll get that score to you later on this hour, okay? The Detroit Lions ended up falling at the hands of the Oakland Raiders, 31-24, your final in the waning moments of that game. The Lions did have an opportunity on the one-yard line to possibly tie the game up, but that drive ended with a Matthew Stafford incompletion in the back of the end zone. So the Lions lose, and they now fall to 3-4-1 overall as the Raiders now improve to 4-4. More on that game in just a moment. The Lions decided on fourth and goal from the 1-yard line with 8 seconds left that they should keep Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay off the field. It made absolutely no sense. Elected to throw their third string tight end in instead. I forget his name. Is it like Zach Thomas or something like that? What is it? I can't hear you, Jack. Is your mic on?
My mic was turned all the way down. How about that? it's Logan Thomas. Zach Logan. Thomas was the Hall of Famer for the Dolphins.
There we go. Logan Thomas. So, yeah, that went in, you know, that was a throw that was incomplete. Game over. And, again, the Lions now falling to 3-4-1 on the year. More on that in just a moment.
Wait, but I have one question for you before we move on. Was that the worst play-action pass from the one-yard line in the history of the NFL? Nobody thought the Lions were going to run the ball. Like, not one Detroit fan anywhere, myself included, thinks that on fourth and goal from the one-yard line, the Lions are going to be able to get that yard. They can't run the ball. Like, that was the least surprising play-action of all time.
It was a very, very bad call. And but I just look at what led up to that moment, though, Jack. I mean, the Lions had opportunities, multiple opportunities to close this thing out, and they just couldn't. And I'll tell you where I believe the brunt of the blame will. Well, I kind of already told you at the beginning of the show. This all falls on the coaching staff. This all falls on Matt Patricia. So more on that heartbreaking loss in just a moment, Lions fans. All right, tonight you can enjoy some Detroit Red Wings hockey as they will play host to the Nashville Predators. The Red Wings are a scorching hot 4-10-1 on the season. Puck drop for that one at 7:30 p.m. Also, the Detroit Pistons are in action on the road taking on the Washington Wizards, who are 1-4 on the season. The Detroit Pistons trying to improve on that 3-4 record after that win against the Brooklyn Nets over the weekend. So that does it for your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. Again, go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Live stream is right there. And tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR.
personal foul. Roughing the passer, number 99. This penalty's declined. Pass interference, number 26. The ball will be placed at the spot of the foul.
He's playing outside cut technique because he knows he has safety. And again, good have the Lord discipline.
Stafford is going to run it. Oh, boy, did he take a shot. First time he's been in all day long. Stafford gets on his feet and now sacked. They have one timeout left and they'll have to use it now. Scrimmages. Logan Thomas hauls that one in. We're down to 12. We're down to 11. It's fourth down, so they got to make a play here. And now the Lions are going to get bailed out. They fake the run. Broken up in the back of the end zone. And the Raiders will win.
By going over the top.
Folks, happy Monday to you all. I hope you are starting off the week well. Hopefully it's productive. Back to business, right? And as we begin to push along here on WKAR's Current Sports, what you just heard was the call of yesterday's broadcast during the Lions and Raiders game. Those closing moments where it really looked like the Lions were going to tie this thing up and send it at least to overtime. Especially when I saw how undisciplined that Oakland Raiders defense was on that final drive going against Matthew Stafford and that offense. I mean, that just idiotic pass interference on Kenny Golladay, where the corner, like, hooks Galladay's arm, did not trust the safety help. Ball sails over the head of Galladay, but it could have been intercepted, so Galladay did a good job, regardless of the pass interference, to bat the thing down, playing defender there. So that's a spot foul, and all of a sudden, the Lions are in business. And they look like they can tie this thing. And then also, I mean, my goodness, how about Matthew Stafford? So tough. So tough. Putting the ball on the ground and getting the Lions closer to that goal line. He took a shot as well. And the referees totally missed a targeting penalty on that as well. I mean, that was blatant helmet to helmet. So the Lions inch a little closer and you're saying to yourself, okay, here we go. Lions are definitely going to tie this thing up. But in typical Lions fashion, they find a way to blow it. They find a way to lose that game, or at least just at least tie it. I mean, you're right there. You know, Matthew Stafford, it was great coverage by the Raiders when he dropped back, and he did slip, but nobody was really open when you look at the aerial view of the replay. He got back up, got sacked, but I'm like, all right, cool. Well, that gives them more room, more field to work with. And it just went downhill from there. And then also the Raiders, talk about being undisciplined. How about when the Raiders decided to call a timeout because they weren't ready? When the Lions, I believe, they've got a first down and the clock is ticking. And the Lions have to, you know, because it's fourth down. That wasn't a first down. It's fourth down. The Lions got one play, and the Raiders call a timeout to completely bail out that Lions offense, to draw up something, to think about, okay, where do we go here with this fourth down play? And I'm like, wow, Gruden really messed up there. But the Raiders win anyway. Matthew Stafford dropped back. He got hurried. throws it to the back of the end zone to, as you heard Jack allude to, Logan Thomas. And it's great defense. Lions lose. And when you look at the game in its entirety there, there's, for me, there's really only one finger that you can point to where you can blame this loss on, and that is Matt Patricia and this Lions coaching staff. And I don't know why I fell for it. You know, when the Lions end up having that close loss at the hands of the Green Bay Packers, you all know I came here on the air and said, okay, if the Lions beat the Packers, I will be a believer that this team can go to the playoffs and possibly even win a playoff game for the first time since 1991. But even with that close loss against the Green Bay Packers, I saw some potential there, and I said the Lions are going to make the playoffs. This team is that good. This team is talented. I believe they can make the playoffs this season, and I fell for the okey-doke. Like Charlie Brown and Lucy, they do it to you every single year. Why do I even have any faith in this team every single season? I don't know. Again, I don't know how you Lions fans do it. And when you look at that game, my goodness, this Lions offense was great. Matthew Stafford played out of his mind. I mean, this brother had over 400 yards, 406 to be exact. He threw for 3 touchdowns. I mean, usually you read a stat line like that for a quarterback on any given Sunday in the NFL, over 400 yards and 3 touchdowns, and you say, oh, yeah, that team definitely won. But no, not the Lions. That Lions defense couldn't stop anybody. It was embarrassing watching that Lions defense on Sunday. The Lions now are owners of the NFL's 31st ranked defense. 31st in the league now. The Lions D allow 450 yards in that 31-24 loss against Oakland, including 171 on the ground. That's not winning football. I don't care how many yards your offense puts up. If you're giving up that much, that's tough. That is really, really tough. You're not going to win many ball games. And how about Oakland's Josh Jacobs? He just tore it up. I mean, he looked great. That Lions defense couldn't stop anybody, especially Josh Jacobs on the ground. Josh Jacobs became the third running back in the last 4 weeks to top the 100-yard mark. He had 120 yards on 28 carries, scored 2 first-half touchdowns. And also, not to mention the backup to Josh Jacobs, Jalen Richard, he made 2 key catches on that would prove to be winning drive for the Raiders. That can't happen. And Al Jacobs, he is now the NFL's 5th leading rusher, averaging 92.5 yards per game. He gained positive yards on all 28 of his carries against the Lions. Matt Patricia came in, was hired in to this Detroit Lions organization, dubbed as a defensive mastermind. And what we have seen so far this season has been the complete opposite of that statement. Darius Slay, after the game, he told reporters, quote, "It was just rough. We just got to figure out a way how to put all this stuff together, man. We got a great team. We got all the right pieces. But it just ain't sticking together. Like, I don't know. We might be putting the pieces to the puzzle in the wrong spot. That's what it is. We're putting the puzzles in the wrong spot right now." That's what corner Darius Slay had to say after the game. That Lions defense, and there was a moment I had to run out to the grocery store. I think it was like midway through the second quarter. And it's right when the Lions, they had taken a touchdown lead. They tied the game, actually. I think they tied the game. The next thing you know, I get in the car and I turn on Dan Miller and Lomas Brown. And they're saying that the Raiders, have now scored just like that. I mean, I was in there for maybe like 10 minutes, a quick run to the grocery store. I couldn't believe it. The Lions defense right now, it is going to continue to cost them games as the season rolls along if they don't get this thing figured out. And you got to feel for Matthew Stafford in the offense. You got to, because Matthew Stafford is just, I mean, and you saw on that final drive, they had no run game whatsoever. The Lions couldn't get anything going on the ground. When you look at the Detroit Lions rush attack yesterday, I mean, J.D. McKissic, he led the way with 32 yards on the ground on just four carries. Ty Johnson got the most carries out of any Detroit Lions running back yesterday with 9, and he only had 29 yards on the ground. So it was all on the shoulders and the arm of Matthew Stafford. And you got to give him credit because time and time again, when this team needed a score to stay competitive in this game, when this team needed a big play, Matthew Stafford led that offense to a big drive, to a big score. And he's just sitting. Can you just imagine what's going through his head? He's like, all right, we've tied the game, or now we've taken the lead. If our defense can just make one stop here. And time after time after time, the Lions defense gave up points and gave up big plays. Time and time again, Matthew Stafford has had to watch from the sidelines as opposing offenses just absolutely torch that Detroit Lions defense. And again, if this Lions defense continues to play this poorly, the Lions will lose more and more games as the season goes along. And the Lions didn't even force a punt until the fourth quarter. You don't force a punt into the fourth quarter and you expect to win? The Lions didn't deserve to win yesterday. And that go-ahead touchdown, the Raiders drove 75 yards in 7 plays. So you look at the NFC North picture now. The Lions are what, in third place in the NFC North now, with a 3-4-1 record. The Bears are 3-5-0. You got the Vikings sitting in second place at 6-3-0, and the Green Bay Packers are 7-2-0. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jack, but I believe both the Packers and the Vikings lost yesterday, right? So you're looking at this and saying to yourself, the Lions had an amazing opportunity there to gain some ground in the NFC North chase, and you blow it. Typical Lions fashion. You blew it. You blew that game yesterday. Vikings lose to the Chiefs 26-23. The Packers got, were handed a loss to, the LA Chargers in a 26-11 final. Remember watching that Aaron Rodgers presser yesterday. He was not a happy man yesterday. But you have a golden opportunity to gain a game on those two NFC North leading teams, and that happens. I don't think the Lions are making the playoffs now. I think it's all but done. And now you play the Chicago Bears coming up. I don't think you beat the Bears. After that, you play my Dallas Cowboys. I don't think you beat the Cowboys. You got the Redskins after that. You got a shot there. But then you go back to playing the Bears at home. Then you got the Vikings. I just don't see it. The rest of this schedule for the Lions, it is going to be tough. And I've been thinking about this throughout the Lions season as well. A guy like Matthew Stafford, very talented quarterback, so tough. He's got this whole, consecutive start streak going on now. He is an Iron Man for this team. A talent like him, and I just think to myself, what could Matthew Stafford do if he rocked another jersey? Tough. SOL, right? I see a few of you on our Facebook page saying, Al, same old Lions. This happens every single year. Before we get to thoughts of Jack Kerwin, phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break, Jack. We'll get your thoughts on the other side, and we'll also roll in this afternoon's Michigan State men's basketball press conference as the Spartans, the number one team in the nation, they prepare to take on number two Kentucky in Madison Square Garden tomorrow night. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. In segment A, you heard my thoughts about what happened on the road for the Detroit Lions yesterday afternoon as they get handed a loss at the hands of the Oakland Raiders. Mike on our Facebook page says it is ironic that a defensive coach in Matt Patricia has the 31st ranked defense. Al Stafford has to be the entire offense. Yeah, you are right on the money there, Mike. Also seeing Steven comment saying that Joey Hauser won the appeal. That is not accurate, Steven. I don't know what publications you are reading, but just for clarification, Joey Hauser, we don't know yet still. Tom Izzo took the podium, and you'll hear his thoughts in just a moment, but he took the podium this afternoon to address Michigan State men's basketball as they prepare for number two Kentucky. And they're still waiting. We do not know what is going to happen as far as the eligibility of Joey Hauser.
No rush there. It's not like they have a game tomorrow night. No rush.
What is taking so long here, Jack? I mean, this makes no sense. Does it really take that long to try and make this decision? We've been discussing this now, I feel like months. I don't know. It feels like months. Has it been months? My goodness. This is crazy. So, yeah, we do know, though, because Tom said that, you know, we're appealing the appeal and we're still waiting on Joey Hauser. Joey Hauser, Tom Izzo said, will not play tomorrow. So we do know that. Joey Hauser will not play against Kentucky tomorrow. All right, back to the Lions, though, Jack. You heard what I had to say in segment A. You are a Detroit Lions fan. I don't know how you do it, brother. But looking at that game yesterday afternoon, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it starts and ends with Matt Patricia, like you mentioned. And it's just one of those things where, you know, a lot of the stuff you said about Matt Stafford, I would generally agree with. You know, you look at a team like the San Francisco 49ers and what they're doing this year with Kyle Shanahan with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback, right? And what they've done with that defense. It's like, if the Lions could ever surround Matt Stafford with a coaching staff and a defense like this, how are you going to tell me they wouldn't compete for the Super Bowl year in and year out? I'm just not buying it. I mean, Stafford has had, to date, probably so far in this season, the best season of his career. And it's going to be absolutely wasted because you're right. I'll be honest with you. After they lost to Minnesota a couple weeks ago, I basically thought their season was over because, you know, they're 3-4-1 right now. But if we're being honest, you know, the tie really hurts them. It's almost like they're 3-5. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, I haven't really had many expectations for this team ever since then. I didn't think they bounced back well at all from, you know, that game in Lambeau a couple weeks ago. And, you know, for me now, you got to move on from Matt Patricia, which really hurts me because, you know, following that loss against the Chiefs earlier this season, I thought for the first time probably in my life, I thought the Lions had a coach. I thought Patricia had improved from last season, but he just obviously has not. The by far the most impressive thing about this team so far has been the offense behind Matthew Stafford and Daryl Bevel as their first-year offensive coordinator. You know, Matt Patricia plays no role in the offense. He's got nothing to do with that. You know, that success has nothing to do with him. So, you know, again, for me, it sucks being a Detroit Lions fan and not having a head coach. And I don't know if there's anything worse, you know, looking around the league than not having a head coach. Because you see, you know, think of how great it must be to be a Baltimore Ravens fan today after beating the Patriots on Sunday night last night. And you just know year in and year out with a guy like John Harbaugh, even when Joe Flacco had really regressed the last couple of years, you know, you're going to be in the mix for the playoffs because you have a very smart coach. And there aren't a whole lot of those in the NFL these days. And again, to just have tried again with another assistant, this one from the Bill Belichick tree, and to have failed again, it really hurts.
And, you know, it's eye-popping to me every time I think about, when you look at the Bill Belichick tree, a lot of those coaches who have gone on from under his tutelage and gone on to be head coaches elsewhere, they have not fared well, which is so weird to me.
Yeah.
I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, I don't know if there's like a real correlation there or if it's simply coincidental because, you know, for me, the whole thing about that is all it really takes is one guy to be really successful who comes from the Bill Belichick tree, and then that narrative dies, doesn't it? Like, there aren't that many great coaches in the NFL. There really aren't. Probably less than 10, to be honest with you. And there are obviously other coaches like Andy Reid who have groomed some guys who have been more successful than Bill Belichick's coaches, but I don't know if that narrative is not just pretty overblown, to be honest with you. But yeah, it does seem a little bit weird that the greatest coach of all time, you know, hasn't really gone on to have one of his assistants be successful at the NFL level. It does seem weird.
Definitely. I mean, you know, you look at Romeo Crennel. I'm looking now at this list.
Yeah, Eric Mangini.
Eric Mangini, Al Groh,
Josh McDaniels.
Mike Vrabel,
the best
Jim
one,
Schwartz.
Yeah, Jim Schwartz. Really, I didn't know he was from Belichick's tree, but
he was a scout actually with Bill Belichick's Browns from 1993 to 1995.
Oh, I don't think that counts.
Does that count?
No, I mean, I guess I'd have to look back and see, you know, who he was like a main assistant under. But I mean, the most successful guy under Belichick has been Bill O'Brien in Houston, and I don't really think he's a great coach. Like, I think Deshaun's a great quarterback, and I think J.J. Watt's outstanding, out for the year again this season, unfortunately. But I don't think they're winning games because of Bill O'Brien there.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien, he reached two Super Bowls while serving as an assistant with the with the Patriots. That was 07 and 2011. Also, Kirk Ferentz. How about that? Pat Hill, Charlie Weiss, so on and so forth. But, yeah, I mean, you look at this. And then the fact that you're talking about a Super Bowl-winning defensive coordinator coming right from that Super Bowl-winning year and going to the Detroit Lions. And it's just amazing to me how bad this Detroit Lions defense has looked. So, yeah, it's really tough looking at, again, the rest of this schedule for the Detroit Lions and where they sit in the NFC North. It's really tough to look at that and say that, okay, they're going to make the Super Bowl. And, again, if I'm Matthew Stafford, wow, man. I mean, just incredibly, incredibly frustrating. I do, on a positive note, you know, again, sticking with the offense, I do also want to mention Kenny Golladay, who has been great for this offense this season. He had four catches for 132 yards. One touchdown for him. Also, Marvin Jones Jr., he had eight catches for 126 yards and a touchdown. It's really fun watching Golladay and Jones Jr. run around and catch balls from the arm of Matthew Stafford. They are two great, great players. But, you know, the Lions lose. Another Lions loss, 3-4-1 on the year. Yeah, same old Lions for you. All right, what I want to do right now, I want to roll in a bit of the press conference from Tom Izzo this afternoon inside of the Breslin Center as Izzo and his Spartans are preparing for the big night. That will be Tuesday night against number 2 Kentucky. Number 1 versus number 2, I believe that is a 9:30 p.m. tip time from MSG. That is going to be one electric game, and we are really going to see. This is why I love Tom Izzo and how he sets up the schedule, because you get a big game to start or big games to start, and you really get to see where this team is and what this team needs to improve on as the year goes along. But you're going to see a lot of young pups out there who may have some pregame jitters playing in MSG, which Izzo will address in a moment. You'll hear his thoughts on that. And you'll see how these young pups, address those pregame jitters. But I think, you know, in sports, sure, they're going to have some butterflies to start. But I think after probably like 5 minutes, you kind of settle down and settle into the game and then go from there. But here is Tom Izzo in a bit of the Q&A period that occurred this afternoon inside of the Breslin Center.
Coach in the back right here, actually have two questions. First of all is, do you like jumping into the fire like this against a team like Kentucky, or would you prefer sort of a lead up into something like this?
You know, if Josh was here, I think I'd like it, because then I think the advantage goes to us a little bit this early in the year. Usually when you play in this event, seems like Kentucky and Duke for sure have had a lot of young guys, although they're both getting a lot older than they were for the past 3 or 4 years. You know, I talked to John about it the other day. Even though I love the fact that it started out college basketball, now everybody's jumped on and everybody's starting the same night. For 1 year, it was like we were like the only thing that started it. It would be nice to have a couple games under your belt to see where you are, especially in our situation this year. And in fairness, Kentucky and Duke's most years. But at the same time, there's just something about getting ready for this where you can kind of talk about it all summer, you know, and everybody knows that not only are you playing Kentucky, not only is it one against two, whether either one of us are there right now, but maybe more importantly for the kids, go to New York, play in Madison Square Garden, where everybody says is the mecca of basketball. So, you know what? I think it's all great. I really do.
And the second part is, how much stock do you take in the results of this game? Is it one of those things where you take a lot, or is it, hey, it's still early in the season, there's a lot to go here?
Well, if we win, I'll take a lot of stock, and if we lose, I'll take no stock, personally. But either way, I'll take no stock. I mean, all it's going to do, the stock I'll take in it, is it's going to help give us an idea of where we are and who's gotten a little better, who needs a lot more work, all those kind of things. I've always said it's great because if you think you're better than you are, you usually get it knocked out of you. It's great because if you're questioning your team and you play good, you feel a little better. If you play bad, you already know what some of your problems are, and now you get a chance to maybe not only tell the players, but they get a chance to have found out for themselves. And that usually, so it's, to me, it's all good. The whole thing's good. It's just, I don't know if it's ever good for your fan base, because if somebody, two teams are going to lose, and four fan bases are going to think those teams should never lose. So then we have to deal with that. And if you win, you know, you'll get anointed something that really doesn't matter in March and April anyway. So I just think it's good. It's good for college basketball. It's good for our program, and it's good for my players. So it's a good deal.
Tom, last year you were the only one of the four to make it to the Final Four, and yet you lost in that Champions Classic game. Does that kind of give you perspective that, as excited as you are, this isn't going to make or break the season?
Yeah, really? You know, I think we all have perspective, all the coaches. You know, last year Kentucky got to the Elite Eight and really should have beat Auburn, in my opinion. And they got beat, 118-20? I guess it wasn't quite that bad, but I think Duke pummeled them last year. And so, I've been in it long enough where I have perspective on that. And I'm not looking at it. A win makes you a Final Four team, or a loss makes you, a sixth place in the league team. It just, it gives you a good barometer where you are. It gives you something to play for. And what I'm most worried about with my team, now that we got a little younger here in the last couple of weeks, is are we going to get better every day? And that's what's really going to determine our season.
Tom, kind of little two-part thing with two different guys that you need to kind of figure out what's going on with. First of all, with Joey, have you heard anything yet, and what is the expectation on that?
The expectation is we are appealing the appeal, which, again, it sounds crazy because everybody just soon it be over with. As much as you guys would, because your readers want to know, I would, because I got to answer to you guys, to answer to your readers. So he will not play tomorrow. I know that for a fact, and I'm hoping that by the end of this week we'll have our final answer one way or another. I think there's been some parts of the appeal. There's some things that have happened nationwide recently, just yesterday. You know, a kid from Kentucky at Washington. I mean, it's, you know, it's about where it's at.
And the second part of that was with Kyle. And I know that that ankle was a little bit of an issue. How do you plan to manage him both with that right now and then with the back moving forward?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to try to manage it, but it isn't going to be a load management thing where we. I'm going to manage it by talking to Kyle. You know how he feels and how he plays, and but God, he had a hell of a summer. I mean, he was really, really, really good. And if you saw the accident or the injury, the way it happened, it was running out of bounds. I mean, there was nobody near him, you know. I mean, we have weird injuries, you know. He runs out of bounds. The other day, Kithier's running down the court and kind of Julius kind of half fell and came up with his elbow and hit him in the nose, broke his nose, you know. I wish all those injuries would happen to me, not my players, and I'd feel a little better. But I'm not going to sit there and worry. It is what it is. I've watched football go through so many injuries in the last 2 years. I've watched other teams go through injuries. I'm not practicing different. I mean, we're going to use our head on what we got to do, but I'm really going to use the player and the trainers on what I do.
Tom, two-part. First of all, you think the same starting lineup that you had against Albion, or is there going to be some change with Kit and Rocket?
No, with Kithier. Oh, Kithier. No, I expect Rocket for sure to start. The Kithier one, I think he'll start. But, you know, we have looked at both Marcus and Malik, and I think all those guys will be rotating in there. But, yeah, we're starting Rocket, and... I mean, I've been really pleased with how he's done. I've been really pleased with how he's practiced. And yet at the same time, you know, he had the least amount of time here because he got here 6 weeks later. But I've really enjoyed his competitiveness and how fast he's picked things up. So that's a positive. It's just you look at him being a first-year guy, and Josh being a fourth-year starter, and yet I need him to do the same thing. I need him to score, and I need him to be one of our best defensive players because that's what Josh was. So that's what we'll be looking for.
Secondly, every year we've sat here and you've bemoaned not having more practice. This year you got a lot more. Yeah. So now that you've done it, which do you prefer, the old way where you didn't get as much or this way where you just beat each other up?
Well, you know what's happened, Hondo, is they've done double duty on this one because they gave us two more hours a week in the summer. And then they, I don't know, we started on Labor Day or was it a few days after? It seems like we've been practicing as long or longer than football. I mean, it's been good. It's been good. We've gotten some things done. We did... I wouldn't say we load management, we team management that a little bit. We went 2 days off a day, 2 days. You know, we tried to spread it out a little bit and get those days in. But I mean, for the most part, I think our guys are, they're not stale. They're feeling good about, you know, what we got to do. It just, it is a long season. I guess I've always known it's a long season, but I think for some reason this year you look at it, and maybe because we started so early, you said, do we end earlier? You know, like it's like starting school earlier. Do you end earlier? The answer is no, you don't. So basketball's getting to be a six-month season of actual practice and games, where at one time it was more of a five- or four-and-a-half-month season.
As you prepare to go into Madison Square Garden tomorrow, just kind of curious as to how your younger guys – how they've been approaching practice this week and if they've asked you any things in regards to what it's like or what it's going to be like to play in a venue like that, and if you're worried that they're going to get in there and their eyes are going to pop.
You know what? I hope I get in there and their eyes pop. I really do. I think the problem we have right now is these kids have so many things with their AU, and, you know, I had to tell them yesterday, this is a privilege. This is an experience. This is a memory of a lifetime. I went around. Dane, did you ever play Madison Square? No. DJ, did you ever play there? No. Doug, did you ever play there? No. You know, I asked my one GA from Central Michigan. I said, Chris, you ever know, you know, I said, it is a happening. It is still one of the places that every pro says is one of their favorite arenas. But sometimes I think these guys just, you know, everything goes. So I hope they are nervous. I really do. And I hope they are excited. That's the privilege you get of playing a schedule like this, or you could have gone to a million schools that never play in these kind of games. So I'm not worried about it. I don't know the answer. You know, I don't know what Rocket will do. You know, a month ago he thought he'd be the backup to Josh and somebody else, and now he's going to start, you know, 3 weeks later. And I think he's tough enough to handle it, but what he'll do, I don't know. But John's got a couple of those kind of guys too. You know, what are they going to do? Who knows? I just hope they don't do what those two freshmen, I hope his kids don't do what the two freshmen did last year at Kansas. They made more threes than they made the next month. And I hope my guys maybe make some threes this time.
Hey, Tom, Kentucky with their length on defense and the pressure in the half court, is that something that you're eager to see how your guys, the new backcourt and so forth, how they...
Yeah, you know, I think Cassius is really ready for that. And then, yet they say Higgins is, this is his claim to fame, you know, that he's a very good defensive player, and I'm sure that's the challenge he'll make. But I think Cassius' added strength is really going to make a difference now, and Rocket is quick enough to do some things, and Foster's going to have to see how he handles that kind of pressure. But, you know, a lot of games you go into thinking there's going to be all kinds of pressure, and it subsides down, you know, like they say in all sports, the first 5 minutes is when you get the jitters out. Everybody's playing it a certain way, and then usually it settles down into what both teams have done most of their careers. And I think for John and I don't think that'll change much. I think they will. I think they'll start three guards, but you don't know, and I don't know if it really matters that much anymore the way it is, and everybody's positionless anyway.
Tom, with the current injuries right now, how confident are you in your depth after maybe the top six or so? Obviously, Kyle and Josh are out, but after that, you know, you got a guy like Gabe Brown coming off the bench. After him, how confident are you in some of the younger guys to kind of step in and fill the role?
You know, I'm not as confident as I would have been, you know, with other people in there that had the experience, and some of that depends on Kyle, and definitely Josh we know won't be there. But, I think Gabe has made a lot of great progress, and I thought at the beginning of the year we'd be 10 deep at least, and now maybe, you know, we still could be 10 deep, but it could be some of those positions could be by, 10, 12 minutes in a game for some of those guys. So that's what these games are for now. That's what you're going to find out. That's what I'm going to see. You're going to see it. The disadvantage for a player is he doesn't get a chance to warm up. I mean, he is thrown into the fire. The advantage for a player is he'll get to measure up to where he's at and what he's got to improve on or what he's already pretty good at.
Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, addressing the media a little after noon today as the Spartans prepare to take on number 2 Kentucky. So number 1 MSU, number 2 Kentucky. We'll preview that game more on tomorrow's show. But what I want to do right now is hit our final break. We'll come back. We'll take a few of your calls and read a few of your comments as we wrap up things with weekend winners. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, we have about, 3 minutes left here in the hour. What I want to do right now is close the show with a phone call. We've got former Current Sports production assistant who is now an MSU grad and assistant director of operations at Prep Baseball Report, Tino Abarca, because Tino actually, he tweeted me over the weekend after that Detroit Pistons win over the Brooklyn Nets on Friday night and said, Al, I got to call in on Monday's show to give you my thoughts. Tino, what's up, my man? And what's your thoughts on the Pistons win, squeaking out that victory over Kyrie Irving and company?
Al, how you doing, man? I hope you're well.
I know you're up against the clock, so I'll make this quick. Listen, this comment actually has nothing to do about the game. It's about your boy, D. Rose. Listen, I appreciate what he's done for the city, for the community. He made a comeback to the United Center, and I do not think that his jersey should be retired up in the rafters at the UC. I love what he's done for the community. He's a good guy. He's been through everything and back. But all he's done is win an MVP, and while that's a great accomplishment, he hasn't done anything else. Everything else is a participation trophy. So, listen, man, I hope you're well. Shout out Jack Kerwin. Miss you guys. I'll hang up. Listen to your thoughts, man.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Tino. We got to get Tino back to elaborate on those thoughts, because I know Tino is, he's from Illinois. And, you know, those are strong thoughts concerning D. Rose, but he does have a point there. In the grand scheme of accomplishments, I mean, D. Rose, other than his individual awards and individual statistics, really, what has he given to the Bulls?
No, right? Absolutely. I don't know if a lot of people in Chicago, I'm obviously not very well plugged in there, but I don't know if people in Chicago are saying D. Rose's number should be retired. I think they're dead wrong. Yeah. Because Tino's exactly right. I mean, what he did prior to his injuries and winning that MVP was incredible, but he never came anywhere near winning one championship, let alone multiple for the Bulls, and he also wasn't there that long in the grand scheme of things. What, probably 7 or 8 seasons?
Yeah, I agree with you, man. Don't get me wrong. I mean, D. Rose, an amazing, amazing basketball talent, especially before the injuries, you know, was in the MVP running, you know, countless years and, you know, won an MVP. But overall, to be up there with the likes of, like, Jordan and Pippen? I don't know about that one. All right. That's it for the Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll see you tomorrow. Again, we'll be previewing a lot. Michigan State men's basketball against Kentucky. Don't miss it. Take care and be easy, people.